see some family visiting today. Glad you're here with us. Hope you feel like you're back home, because that's our desire. And then I'm just wondering out there from Thanksgiving, how many of you need to repent? Eating too much? Hopefully you had a good time with family and friends, and just some time off to kick back and enjoy. I think that's a big part of what Thanksgiving is, kind of a family gathering, enjoying each other's company. It's good stuff. All right. I want to talk about the power of gratitude today. How many of you are thankful? Really? Okay. I thought, boy, we're in big trouble. There's lots to be thankful for, and we'll talk about that. There were some women that wrote about things they were especially thankful for, and they said, for automatic dishwashers, because they make it possible for us to get out of the kitchen before the family comes back in for their after-dinner snacks. Okay. They also were thankful for children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. There's such a joy, you hate to see them go home to their own parents. And then for teenagers, because they give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. Be thankful. Gratitude is a big deal. Now, we understand and know that we can think in a worldly way or in a godly way. It's one or the other, different ways we can think. And worldly thinking leads to all kinds of depravity. And one of the ways we combat this kind of thinking, that worldly thinking, is through gratitude. We should be grateful people. As Christians especially, we should be grateful people. It's been said that a thankful heart is not only a virtue, but the parent of all other virtues. And I believe that's true. In fact, I debated about doing it, but I've actually created a little diagram of how if you start with gratitude, it just leads to so many other godly things, just logically and scripturally. It's an important aspect of the Christian faith to be grateful. Somebody else said, a thankful heart enjoys blessings twice, when they're received and when they're remembered. Get to enjoy it again. Now, I think there are about five things that keep us from being grateful, from being thankful. Five things. First one is conceit. It's the attitude that says, nobody ever gave me anything. I worked hard for everything I have. Or, I deserve all the good things that I have, and I don't deserve any of the bad things. It's kind of a conceited attitude. Henry Ward Beecher said, pride kills thanksgiving, but a humble mind is the soil out of which thanks naturally grows. Pride works against us. A second one is a critical spirit or a constant complaining will keep us from being grateful. Instead of being grateful, this person will always find something to complain about. You ever met somebody like that? Just no matter what, there's always something to gripe about. Okay? Very common around the water cooler at the workplace. Have you ever noticed that? That's when we gripe about everything. Okay? And there was a lady known as an incurable grumbler. All she did was complain about everything. And at last, her preacher thought he had found something about which she would be happy, because her crop was the finest for miles around. So when he met her, he said with a beaming smile, you must be very happy, Mary. Everyone is saying how healthy your potatoes look this year. True, they're pretty good, but what am I going to do when I need bad ones to feed the pigs? Always something to complain about. Now, I was reading about gratitude, and one person online that I read this week said, at some point I grew up and made a simple discovery. The emotion of feeling grateful doesn't happen naturally. It is a result of the deliberate choice of demonstrating gratitude. In other words, you don't show gratitude because you feel grateful. You feel grateful because show gratitude. That's pretty good. It really is. And then a third thing that keeps us from being grateful is carelessness. And what I mean by that is sometimes, especially here in America, we grow accustomed to God's blessings in our life. And we just kind of take it for granted. So we have this careless attitude. And the Israelites, you know, they grumbled because they had no food. And so God miraculously provided manna to cover the ground each day, of course, except for the Sabbath. And then they got double on the day before the Sabbath. Remember all that? And then they started to grumble because it was the same thing every day. You see what I'm saying? They just kind of had a careless attitude and expected that God's just going to always come through all the time. And, you know, God does come through. But we don't want to take it for granted. Right? And then that leads me kind of the fourth one here. Consumerism keeps us from being grateful. And boy, is this an American attribute. I mean, we follow up Thanksgiving with Black Friday. Consumerism. Okay? It's the idea of never having enough and thinking that we ought to have even more. Consumerism. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 10 says, whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. Consumerism is a deadly disease, and it's big and bad in America. And it keeps us from being grateful. It's been said, don't grumble because you don't have what you want. Be thankful you don't get what you deserve. And when you think from a spiritual, godly perspective, that's a big deal. I'm thankful that I don't get everything I deserve. Okay? That's coming from your pastor. I'm glad I don't get everything I deserve. Okay? I think we all need to take that attitude. Because God is so good to us. He is so merciful and so full of grace. And then the last one that I think keeps us from being grateful is covetousness. This is envy and jealousy of others. And it occurs when we have our eyes on others instead of on God. We start looking around and say, well, why don't I have? And why are things this way? And, you know, envying other people. Back many years ago, the Sweet Comfort Band had a song called Envy and Jealousy. And here's some of the lyrics. It says, I can recall when I was quite young, I had it all, except for the one I wanted. Well, that's envy and jealousy. And then it goes on, envy and jealousy, they make me so small. Envy and jealousy, they are there when I fall. Covetousness keeps us from being grateful because we look at somebody else and we're comparing ourselves to them and we're seeing probably falsely how great their life is, and then we don't feel grateful for our life. Proverbs 14 verse 30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Envy ruins you. Covetousness keeps us from being grateful. Because of conceit, carelessness, consumerism, covetousness, and a critical spirit, we will never be truly thankful for all that God has given us. Those things keep us from being grateful. Whereas the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 5, 19 and 20, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always give thanks. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 16 through 18 says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Are you getting the picture here? Always thankful in all circumstances. That's the way believers should be. Charles Allen wrote about the very first Thanksgiving, and he says, I've seen a picture of the pilgrims at the first American Thanksgiving. Of course, it wasn't a photograph, you understand. Probably a painting. But, all right. But let me let me elaborate on what he says here. He says, do you know that half of their number died the first year they were here? Half. They had a hard time. It was a cold winter. Dangers lurked everywhere. But those pilgrims didn't think of the death of their loved ones and the dangers and the cold weather. They didn't let that obscure the blessings of God. They went together and they thanked the Lord for the blessings they had received. Sometimes we need to tally our assets alongside our losses. And everyone is more blessed than we are hurt. Those pilgrims set a great example for us, being thankful in spite of horrendous circumstances. Benjamin Franklin said this way. He said, the sentence which has most influenced my life is, some people grumble because God placed thorns among roses. Why not thank God because he placed roses among thorns? Yeah, just a matter of how you look at it. Kind of like the detours that was shared earlier. We don't like the detours because we want the straight path. But sometimes God has a better plan, and his detour is on purpose. So how can we have this attitude of gratitude continually, especially in all circumstances? Because all of us go through times when we don't really enjoy our circumstances. Yet the scripture says to give thanks in all circumstances. Well, to be thankful in all circumstances, we need a proper perspective of our circumstances and of our God. And then we'll be able to give thanks to the Lord always. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, some of you know it, I'm sure. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So let me put this real simply. When we really understand that God is far above our ways of thinking, and that he really does have our best interests in mind, then we can always be thankful. If we really get that picture, God knows way beyond what we know. Way beyond. And God is, how we say it, always good, right? Then that prompts gratitude. God knows what he's doing, and he's got the best plans. So I'm grateful. Doesn't make sense to me right now, but I know God knows what he's doing, and I know God is always good, so I'm grateful. And gratitude produces contentment. When we express gratitude for what we already have, we tend to be more at peace with our current situation. Scripture ties gratitude and peace together. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Did you catch that? Thankfulness for everybody in leadership, then we can live peaceful lives. That's what the scripture says. And then Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so there it is again. Thanksgiving and peace, they go together. When we express gratitude, it produces contentment in us. I believe that gratitude also produces compassion. When we are truly grateful for God's provision and work on our lives, then we tend to be more caring to others that may be struggling. We get a little glimpse of this in 1 John chapter 3. He starts the chapter off with, I think, an expression of gratitude. In verse 1, he says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Now he's expressing some gratitude there. And then in verse 16 through 18, he kind of shifts to compassion, and he says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. You see, when we start with a grateful attitude, it kind of produces some compassion in us because we appreciate so much what God has done in our life. And when somebody else is struggling, we feel for them. And then gratitude produces confidence. When we take time to focus on what God has done, it strengthens our faith for what God can still do. And we heard that testimony this morning right over here. God answered my prayer once before. I know he's going to answer this one too. And the scripture is filled with, remember the things God has done. That was, the Israelites were supposed to set up these little memorial stones and things, and so that when generations later would ask, what do those stones mean? They could tell the stories of how God saved them and rescued them and did all these things for them. Church, when we express gratitude, it produces confidence. Psalm 77, verses 11 through 14 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. I kind of felt myself crescendoing there as I was reading that, because he's remembering first. And then he says, and currently, you are the God who does miracles. He remembers what God has done. He expresses gratitude for what God has already done, and it produces confidence and faith. And gratitude produces connection as well. In Psalm 95, also in Psalm 100, they both speak of coming into the Lord's presence with thanks. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. If we are not grateful and do not express our thanksgiving, then it can actually have the opposite effect. Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. You see, when they weren't grateful and they didn't acknowledge God in their lives, it led them on a downward spiral of futility and darkness. Gratitude is important. It builds a connection with us and God. Those people's hearts became hardened because they weren't grateful. And there are numerous passages of Scripture which indicate that gratitude and fellowship with God are very closely related. They are. Gratitude and fellowship with God cannot really be separated. It's been said, he who forgets the language of gratitude is not likely to be on speaking terms with God. That's God's language, gratitude. And so, here's a simple application. If you've been feeling distant from God, try expressing some gratitude. Maybe the distance would disappear. Because gratitude produces connection. And then, gratitude is the mark of a growing Christian. For example, a baby is ungrateful. You ever notice that? Babies, you know, I'm talking infants. They're ungrateful. Can I get a witness here with the newborn? Yeah. You can take a little baby when it has colic and walk the floor with them for hours, And when you put that baby down, they don't say, thank you. More than likely, they will just yell a little louder. A child has to be taught to be thankful. It does not just come naturally. When we realize how blessed we are by others and by God, and we express that, then we are growing. Understand? Compared to the baby, no expression of gratitude, but maturity, we become more grateful. If you are thankful, you will not be constantly critical and pessimistic. Conceit will have less of an issue, and so will covetousness. And there's still going to be difficult times in your life, but they will not break you because you've learned to be grateful. The psalmist was right when he said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 92, verse 1. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Ephesians 5:20 talks about always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have a bit of a problem with that Bible verse, if I could be perfectly honest. Because it says I should thank God for everything. And I could get into the Greek and try to dispute it and all that, but that's what it says. Give thanks for everything. Okay. Am I the only one, or does anybody else find that kind of, that's a hard one? Okay, good. Whew, I feel better. Misery loves company, you know. Okay, and so I try to wrap my brain around that. Give thanks for everything. Okay, so the word about detours helps us a little bit, because when you understand God is preventing you from some things that could be bad for you, then that's a good thing. Even though we don't like the detour, we can see, okay, that's a good thing. God knows what he's doing. We can be grateful. Give thanks for everything. Here's another great illustration of this. In southern Alabama is the town of Enterprise in Coffee County. There they have erected a monument to an insect honoring the Mexican boll weevil. Isn't that something? This is true. You can look it up. In 1895, the boll weevil began to destroy the major crop of the county, which was cotton. Okay? And they erected a monument to this boll weevil because it ruined all of their cotton. Are you with me so far? Okay. In desperation to survive, the farmers had to diversify, and by 1919, just a few years later, the county's peanut crop was many times more than what cotton had been at its height. In that year of prosperity, a fountain and monument were built. The inscription reads, in profound appreciation of the boll weevil and what it has done as the herald of prosperity, this monument was erected by the citizens of Enterprise, Coffee County, Alabama. Out of a time of struggle and crisis had come new growth and success. Out of adversity had come blessing. Now, can you imagine when the boll weevil struck their crop that first year? I kind of doubt they were all grateful at that moment. Okay? But it changed everything, and they become even more prosperous because of it. And so they can look back and they say, that boll weevil was the best thing that ever happened to us. And church, here's what I'm saying. When we really understand, God sees the big picture. He sees it all. And some of the stuff we have happened in our life and we think that is junk, God says, no, that's the best thing for you. That's your boll weevil. It's going to make you better. So be thankful for everything. Now, I admit, I still wrestle with that a little bit. But when I start to at least get a glimpse of how God functions, then I can embrace that scripture and say, Lord, I thank you for everything, even the stuff that, you know, in the natural I'm not very appreciative for. I'll say, thank you, God, because I know you have the best plans in mind. Can you embrace that? Okay? If you can't, pray about it and ask God to help you embrace, because the word is always true. Right? So, let me give you some more examples here. Be thankful that you don't already have everything you want. If you did, what would there be to look forward to? Be thankful when you don't know something that gives you the opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times. During those times, you grow. Be thankful for your limitations because they give you opportunity for improvement. Be thankful for each new challenge because it will build strength and character. And be thankful for your mistakes. They teach you valuable lessons. Are you getting the picture? How we can be grateful for everything. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says this. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Okay? Not just a half full cup with a positive attitude. It's half full, not half empty. Half full, but no, overflowing with thankfulness. Oozing out of every pore of you. Okay? Some of you, there's some people in this room that already got this down pat, and you probably, they're coming to your mind right now. You know, they're just always filled with joy and thanksgiving because they've got this one down. And, you know, when you're not in that, they just kind of drive you nuts. But the truth is, we need to be more like that. Help me to be more that way, overflowing with thanksgiving. Leslie Flynn says, in Vermont, a farmer was sitting on the porch with his wife, and he was just reminiscing, and he was realizing how much she meant to him. And it was about time, for they had lived together 42 years, been married, and she had been such a help. She was a wonderful, willing worker. She just was a great wife. And one day as they sat together, he said, wife, you've been such a wonderful woman that there are times I can hardly keep from telling you. Okay, that's the opposite of overflowing with gratitude. Okay? Instead, we need to express it. In fact, I just heard Joyce Meyer talking about gratitude just the other day. She was careful to stress the act of thanksgiving rather than just thankfulness. So we need to actually express our gratitude. Say the words. Name the reasons. Give thanks. It's real easy to say, oh yeah, I'm thankful. Well, let's play it out. What are you thankful for? Let's say so. Let's tell God. Let's tell the person. Let's whatever. Let's say it. Let's be grateful. Okay? Go. Let's be grateful. He is Lord. For your family, your friends, the church, healing. Okay, I heard the snow missed us, okay? Parents. I'm sorry? Provision. Protection. He's at work behind the scenes, yes. Your pastor? Brownie points for you, buddy. For your mom. Employment. Music. Education. He's our help. Your house. Crazy faithful people in this church. I heard car and cat, I think, too. So we're all lumped together. Grandma, spouse, oxygen. Yes, I love it. That's a great answer. I'm breathing. I think it was Don Remensnyder. You say, well, I'm still above ground. Yeah. Life. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. In church. Yeah, the little things. We need to be grateful people. There's power in gratitude. Power in gratitude. So I'm going to pray. We're going to dismiss. And I know we've shared a little bit here, but I would love for you to just take a little time before you go and grab somebody by the hand and just express some gratitude for them. Maybe something they've done, or just simply that they're here. Whatever. Let's express gratitude. Okay? All right, let's stand. I'll pray, and then you do that. All right. God, we say thank you. You've done so much for us. Our gratitude pales in comparison to what you've done, but we say thanks because it's what we're supposed to do, and it's the right thing to do. It's the godly thing to do. It's the scriptural thing to do. And so, Lord, we are going to be grateful people. Thank you for your goodness to us, even in times when it makes no sense. And in the natural, we think this is horrible. We say, thank you, God, because you know what you're doing. And you have the best plan. So we say, thank you, Lord. And Lord, help us to always be grateful. Overflowing with thankfulness. Help that to be who we are. In Jesus' name, amen. God's blessings on you. Express some gratitude and have a great week.